We're finally coming to the conclusion of the author's very lengthy theological discussion as he transitions into exhortations, which will run through the entire rest of Hebrews. The beginning of this exhortation section starts with three main exhortations in the following seven verses. We're called to draw near to God, hold fast to our confession, and gather together for worship. But before we get into these three, we get to focus on a beautiful piece of scripture and bask in the glories of Jesus as they shine out. Since the imagery of the Old Testament has passed away, we come fully into the implications that Christ has brought about the real thing. The pictures have now passed away. The new has been implemented. And there is a call for action as a result. This action stems out of rich truths based upon the great high priesthood of Jesus Christ. This is chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, so we enter into the true presence of God by the blood, or sacrifice of Jesus. Not just the Holy of Holies in the material temple or tabernacle, but rather into the true presence of God Almighty, the true Holy of Holies. And how do we do this? We do it with confidence. But it's not confidence in and of ourselves. It's solely upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. This ought to grow us in our humility. This is not pride in ourselves, but wholehearted dependence upon Jesus. So we come humbly into God's presence, confidently looking to Jesus. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. So we come by the blood of Jesus. Now, and this is a new way. It's freshly slaughtered in a sense, not to give a gross image, but it's a freshly slaughtered idea. It had recently happened when this book was being written, for one, and secondly, it's contrasting the old way. It's different now. Why? Jesus inaugurated, or you could say opened for us. He has opened it. Therefore, we cannot shut it, nor can we open it another way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he opened this way through his flesh. One could say his body is the veil or the doorway, in a sense, to enter into God's presence. And this is glorious. As the temple veil rent in two, making visible the Holy of Holies to all who would look, so also Christ's body, as it was torn and opened, gave access to God Almighty to all who would look and believe. It is a living way. Kent says it this way, it is not slain and hence lifeless, which we depend upon, but upon the resurrected and living Son of God. We don't depend on some lifeless animal. Rather, we depend upon the living Son of God. This ought to be thrilling to your soul. Our access to God is not dependent upon the thousands of slain, lifeless sacrifices of the Old Testament, nor the insufficient, filthy rags, deeds of righteousness that we have tempted to lean on, but rather wholly and completely upon the perfect, spotless, righteous, eternal Son, the Lamb of God who is slain and yet lives again. And since we have a great high priest over the household of God, the third point is now brought to the table. We have a great, something which stands out, a great high priest. Jesus' priesthood is greater, it's louder, it's dominating of the Old Testament. This priest is over us. So what must we do? We're going to consider that in the following verses in the next few days.